driven by there in the last few days. It's starting to become visibly different each and every day. There are footers being poured, a lot of work being done on the grounds, and excited to see that coming together. We are planning another on-site tour. If you would like to sign up for that, we'll get those sign-up sheets here in the next week or so, and that will be happening, I believe, on the 24th, and time just to get out there in the morning if you'd like to look at the campus and get around. It's a walking tour, and so make sure that you're aware of that, but it is a great thing to see and to visualize and to start putting the pictures and the images and starting to see them come together as the site is continuing to shape up. So just encourage you to be in prayer. We have several opportunities to engage with the workers, the construction workers that are out there, and our outreach ministry is something that we're very conscious of and intentional about, and so excited to start the process of engaging and working with these men and women that will be coming onto our campus there and helping with the building process. So keep these things in your prayers, and the Pray It Forward team has some prayer requests, and they're getting things out in front of you, and hoping that you'll stay up with that as well. There's information about that in the bulletin as well, and hoping that you will keep praying through the process as we go ahead and start moving forward. In light of that, I'm going to ask Tom Crum to come, and he is going to give us an update on our building project, and then I'll come back up and we'll open the word of prayer. So Tom, appreciate that.
Well, I told the pastor that I wouldn't take more than an hour on this update, so I'm going to get started on it pretty quickly. I really won't take that long, but there's been a lot that has happened since the last update that you all received, and I tried to organize this in a decent fashion. I'm appreciative of Stan Haber. He's our project manager. He provided a huge number of details regarding what has occurred, and I'm going to try to cover most of them. He also posts some really good information and pictures, as most of you know, on Facebook, and has provided great updates. So let me first of all give you the big picture regarding just our contractors in general. Up to a couple weeks ago, Tyson, who is our general contractor, has had two subcontractors on site, Tally, who does our excavating, and Fulmer, who does our concrete work on campus. Recently, construction efforts have ramped up, and they've added two more subcontractors, Adman, who is doing electrical work, and Silvers, who are doing mechanical and plumbing work. So this has resulted in four subcontractors and about 25 to 30 workers on campus. In the past week, Fulmer has doubled their number of workers, and that'll increase the workers on campus to about 35 to 40. We've been told at some point in time that there could possibly be as many as 200 people on there when all of the trades are involved. So it's just a gradual process. I wanted to give you some specific details regarding the update on the church. Fulmer built a major retaining wall. You can see that when you drive by on Jenkins Road. That's on the Jenkins side of the church. And several large footings have been completed to this date. They'll continue completing the footings. They've begun work on the church elevator pit and stairwell, which is about 3 weeks worth of work to complete that. The amount of concrete poured in these footings is impressive. If you've ever done any concrete work and you listen to the number of square yards, it's significant. Fulmer will begin prepping for pouring the church pad, which will be poured in four sections over the next 4 to 5 weeks. So that's going to be major work on their part. Tally has been working on sewer lines around the church. The electrical contractor, Adman, is working on underground piping for parking lot lighting around the church. And Silvers has been working on underground piping related to the mechanical and plumbing features of the church under the church pad. So that obviously has to go in before the church pad can be poured, so there's an order to these things. And then regarding the school, Tally is also working on all the ball fields, dirt work for building pads, and all of the outdoor ball field press boxes and structures, prepping for light pole installation on those athletic fields, which needs to be done before, obviously, synthetic turf can be laid. They're working, and if you've noticed the north property, they've been working on leveling that for a long time, and it's amazing how much dirt they've moved from that property. And then excavation for the upper school pad. Admin is working, our electrical contractor is working on the lighting for the ball fields. This past week, Tyson Construction, our general contractor, placed an order for synthetic turf with Baseline Athletics, which is will be another subcontractor that will be on campus when that artificial turf is installed. Also, final approval of the school drawings from the state fire marshal and the city engineers is expected in the next 2 to 3 weeks as well, which will allow us to receive permits to start the construction of footers for the school. Tyson will start evaluating subcontractor bids for the school next week, and those evaluations will continue over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We've also had this past week, I believe it was on Thursday, Stan Haber called it a treasure hunt to a warehouse in East Ridge. And so church and school staff members made a trip to this warehouse, which is filled with brand new office equipment. And I mean brand new. Chairs still wrapped. It was unbelievable the amount of things that were in that warehouse. We were looking for furnishings that would work in the church and the school. It was a very successful trip, and due to this families, it's a family who had a son at Grace Baptist Academy, but due to that family's generosity, it will save the church and school a very significant amount of money. He just offered that we could come over there and use whatever items are in that warehouse for no charge at all. So that's just a gigantic blessing. A little update on FEMA. The staff continues to work with FEMA regarding defining the scope that they will estimate. There was an in-person meeting with FEMA. Was it a FEMA official or officials? One individual this past Friday morning, and my understanding is, I haven't talked directly to folks, but I understood that it went very, very well. We've also been doing these contractor outreach meals each Wednesday, and they continue to be very, very popular with contractors. I don't think my observation is they are not accustomed to that at all in other projects they work on. So I'm appreciative to Pastor for having suggested that to begin with. And there have been a number of opportunities to have significant spiritual conversations with these gentlemen. And with some of the workers, their supervisors, and they are really, really appreciative. I don't know that I've ever been around a group of guys who are so appreciative of a meal each week. In August, we will be preparing a lunch for the workers. I wanted to provide a huge thanks to those of you who have provided things up to this point. We've been alternating between fast food I guess you would call it home-cooked meals. I've done some of them, so I'm not sure how good those have been, but they seem appreciative. I guess if it's free, they don't fuss much, even if quality isn't so good. And also want to thank those of you who are contributing funds to support the cost of these meals. As work continues, we can encourage your participation in either preparing a baked good or a meal for one of these Wednesdays, or contributing to the funds that support the outreach. We do have some funds that are available if you need to be reimbursed for things that you might provide or prepare. And obviously over the coming weeks and months, it's going to be really important because the number of workers will be increasing. Up to this point, we have scheduled individuals who are willing to prepare a meal through Wednesday, September 8th, thankfully. Beyond that, we need others who would be willing to become a part of that outreach by either providing a meal, buying something, you know, sufficient from a fast food place, or contributing money. And I was thinking of doing a sign up today, but I do have a sign up sheet, but I think better that you contact me and let me know if you would be interested in providing a meal or something like that beyond September 8th. It's not easy to schedule these just within a week. So we're trying to get a little jump start on that. So we need help beyond the 8th. Pastor mentioned this Saturday tour. That will be on July 24th at 9 a.m. in the morning, and you can sign up for that. I guess sign-up sheets will be available here in the next little while. So just a few things to pray for, and I will be finished. Please pray for continued progress with FEMA and our relationships with their staff, and actually there have been some opportunities, I think, to witness them a little bit, and there are some that need that very much so. The pray about the approval process for the school drawings and the permits for that. A very important prayer is for a material availability in all areas and transportation of those materials, which if you've done any reading in the paper or anything, that's a significant concern. So if you would pray for that, that would be great. Regular prayer for safety for those gentlemen and ladies who would be working on the site. And then finally, our relationship and outreach to those construction workers. And that is my update for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. It was a lot to get through, and that's why we want to try to keep these updates coming more frequently so that you can be apprised. But I want to mention one other thing. When Tom talks about the quality of food, do not let him in any way undermine the quality of what he has provided and what others have provided. I would say I would much rather have what he gives many times than what we find in the sack stuff every now and then. But grateful for the work that's being done, and just continue to pray as we move forward. Let's stand together, if you would, and we're going to say our verses here this morning as a way to kind of change gears here as we move into this. And I want to mention as well today, it's good to have Hilda Keelan with us, former missionary to Puerto Rico. We spent as a church many years going down there, and was instrumental in helping us here with our Spanish ministry. And as mentioned, that she is here with us today. Thank you, Hilda, for visiting with us today. And I appreciate her. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to say these verses aloud together. It's in Ephesians 6, 14 and 15. And so after this, then we'll open with the word of prayer. All right? Together. Stand firm, therefore, having girded our loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's go to the Lord at this time. Father, grateful for our day. And Lord, just mindful of your presence and your power and your preeminence. And Lord, the significance of who you are weighs heavy upon our hearts today as we think about a world that is seeking so desperately for answers and longing for a meaning and purpose and finding identity and hope. And yet everything they turn to just continues to leave them lacking and wanting. Lord, I'm grateful for your power and, Lord, the sufficiency of your grace, and, Lord, the ability that your sacrifice upon a cross has to truly change lives and to give us meaning and purpose. I pray, God, that you'll bless our day today as we are challenged from your word by Kelly in just a little bit. I pray that you'll use his message to stir our hearts to see you better and to understand our relationship with you better and our need of you. Lord, I pray for our singing, our time together here this morning. May we truly lift our voices in praise and recognition of who you are. And may we celebrate you in this day. Lord, we are grateful for our friends and regular attenders, and just grateful for the work that you're doing in each of our lives. And those of us that are here that are new, I pray, God, that you'll just encourage us today around your word and the fellowship that we share, and opportunities just to become better acquainted with believers in Christ who care and genuinely want to see us reach people for the cause of Christ. So bless our time. These that we've mentioned, I pray that you continue to bring strength. I pray that you bring healing and encouragement. Lord, I pray that you just continue to bless us as a church. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a pleasure to be able to lead you this morning. And I hope you'll join with us as we lift up the name of the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Sing with me today.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper good work and defending. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with his love he befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, oh let all that is in him adore him. All that hath life and breath come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly fully we adore him. Water you turned into wine, you open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. And into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes you rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
into the darkness,
into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes you rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Stronger, oh God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
And if our God is for us, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Then what could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, he's awesome. Stop us. And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And what could stand against?
Our
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore. Question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God, seated on his throne. Hands bearing all the guilt of sinful man, God eternal, humbled to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. God, thank you for your mighty works. We thank you this morning for who you are, your majesty, your glory. Lord, I pray that the attributes that we see in you today, that we'll strive so much to be just like you. Lord, mold us and make us in your image. Refine us, Lord, make us to be like you. We love you. Thank you for loving us so much, for salvation, for eternal life that's promised. We give you praise this morning, for it's in your Son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Fred. Well, if you have your Bibles or your phone app or whatever, would you turn to Psalm 145 this morning? We're going to take a little break from Philippians and why am I up here if Pastor Adam is here? Because Adam said he would like to sit with his wife during a church service. So we're going to do that. Actually, they thought they were going to be out of town this weekend, and then some things fell through, and I was like, would it help you? Would it take some pressure off? And so he has given me this great privilege. This is going to seem a little random to introduce our message this morning, Lift Up Your Heads, but I'm random, so no surprises there. I was thinking back the other day to the end of my ninth grade year at Tyner Junior High School. And in May of that year, end of the year, for whatever reason, the members of the National Honor Society of Tyner Junior High School got to go to Six Flags for the day. We got out of school and we went to Six Flags. Great time, loved it. But my memory from that day is our time on a ride called the Mindbender. Does anybody know what the Mindbender is? Is it still there? It's probably like fallen down by now. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't even exist anymore. But the fun thing about that day is that I don't remember if it was in the middle of the day, whatever, but it rained. And so in parks like that, if it rains, thinking people go away or they get under shelter. Ninth graders go shorter lines. So we, several of us, rode the Mindbender in the rain, which was my favorite experience on a roller coaster ever. And not only that, once we came back in, there's no line. We got off the roller coaster and we got back on the roller coaster and we did it again. And we did it over and over and over again. Part of what I remember from that ride also is that there's loop-de-loops and all kinds of things. But at some point in time, like you've all done this, okay? So don't look at me like I'm the sinner. But you're trying to keep your hand, you're supposed to hold on, right? But you get your hands up. And at some point in time, the way that the ride is going, it's not only difficult to raise your hands, but your head. Like there's just this kind of force that's pushing you down. And so the challenge is, can I get through the ride and can I keep my head up and can I keep my hands up doing this ride? A lot of laughter, a lot of screams, and a lot of resistance to these invisible forces. It's one thing if you're on a ride at Six Flags as a ninth grader, trying to resist those forces, but it's another thing when you're resisting forces that pull your head and your hopes down, and that's a different kind of invisible force, but it's a force that we face in life, isn't it? There are seasons, there are times that it's just very difficult to lift up our head. We feel that pressure to look down. We feel that pressure to walk by sight rather than walking by faith. Different things pull on us. Different things weigh on us. And certain turns in the ride are harder to resist than others. But the world around us seems determined to keep our head down, to keep our focus downward. Whether that comes from family tension or impossible work deadlines or an unexpected diagnosis or choices that are being made by those that you love dearly that are not wise, a misunderstanding in a relationship that seems impossible to repair, battles within. And all of these cast shadows, being overwhelmed by our own sin struggles, just things that we feel the weight of that force that causes our heads to droop. We feel the pressure of the invisible just force that pulls us down. So how do we lift up our heads? How do we overcome those invisible forces without screaming, like we would do on the Mindbender? Lift up your head. Well, now, there's certain ways that we try to deal with those things, and some of them are unhealthy. We just try to keep busy, right? We just try to distract ourselves. We self-medicate, or we turn to entertainment and escapes to just try to not think about it. Or we try to control. Or we make space to intentionally look up. So that's what we want to do this morning, to look up, to recalibrate, to receive, to trust, to anchor, and to fight. Is God, is his word, and his body, the body of Christ, are they sufficient to stabilize us long enough to look up, to lift our head, to comfort our hearts, to strengthen our grip? Well, let's consider Psalm 145. It's my favorite psalm. As I prayed, Lord, what would you have me to share? Like if there was one spot I could come back to over and over again, Psalm 145 would probably be my favorite. And I think I've even preached at Grace on Psalm 145, but this is going to be a little bit different because I just prayed and studied line by line in the first half of this psalm. And I just want to share with you some things that kind of came up and rose to the surface that helped me lift my head, because I feel a very unworthy candidate to open the word this morning. But God is sufficient, and he wants to meet us here. This is his orchestration. This is even his timing. And as we begin Psalm 145, what we'll find is there's not this, like on the roller coaster, there's this gradual incline that you're going up, 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 and you can see where it's about to drop, but you just feel this incline gradually going up. The psalmist here, David, doesn't give us that opportunity. We start at the top, and then it's going to go higher. But we start at the top. I will extol you, my God and King. And let's just stop with I will. From the very beginning, I will. It's a choice of the will. From the very beginning, we're faced with a choice. And David says, I'm making this choice. I will extol you, my God and King. So if we're going to enjoy and appreciate and be blessed by what unfolds from this psalm, it begins in the will. It begins in the will. I will extol you, my God and King. A couple of things about this psalm. It's the last psalm in the Psalter that was written by David. Excuse me, my voice is giving me a fit. It's the last psalm in the Psalter that was written by David. There's not a specific occasion listed for this particular psalm as there are from some other psalms of David. And it's an acrostic psalm. So every verse begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, thus aiding memorization. I don't know Hebrew, so that makes it harder for me, okay? David begins, I will extol you, my God and King. We can make a whole sermon on just the first verse. What does it mean to extol? Different translations will have different things. But the word extol means to recognize one's superior stance, one's superior place, one's significance, and to take a humble post in light of that. It is to recognize the superiority of one, one's exalted position, and acknowledging their rightful place in light of that person's superiority. So, David says, I will extol you. I recognize your superiority, and I take my humble place at your feet. Remember, this is where we begin. So if we're going to appreciate and enjoy the beauty that unfolds from this psalm, it begins in the will. I will extol, I will recognize your superior position, and I will take my place at your feet in humility. Every human being recognizes the superiority, the significance, the worth of something. Everyone worships. As I've said many times, the worship switch, if there was a light switch back here, which I think there is, the worship switch is never flipped off. Everybody worships something. And in every heart and in every life, something is extolled as the supreme treasure, the supreme value. And that controls everything else about that life. That determines whether there is peace, whether there is security, whether there is hope, or whether it fluctuates. David says I've made the choice for which I was created. I will extol you, my God and King. In my heart, in my will, there is none higher than my God and King. He's the object of my worship. And because of his unrivaled supremacy in my heart, I submit my life to his design, to his purposes, to his word, and to his ownership. I brought with me the directions for a table lamp that we bought this week. Did you know that lamps come with directions? And I'm the warped kind of person that reads these. And a lot of entertainment. Hampton Bays table lamp, use and care guide for a lamp, written in multiple languages so that you can't miss it. I particularly enjoyed the troubleshooting section. I highlighted it. Problems. The lamp, the bulb will not light. Possible causes. The bulb is burned out. Corrective, so there's a column for possible cause and then corrective actions. So possible cause, the bulb is burned out. Corrective action, replace the light bulb. Problem, the bulb will not light. Another possibility, the power is off. Corrective action, ensure the power supply is on. The bulb will not light. Possible cause, the cord is not plugged in. Corrective action, I bet you got this one. Ensure the cord is plugged into the outlet. Okay, we do get the circuit breaker off, and so go check the circuit breaker. Instructions on a lamp. Who does Hampton Bay think that they are to tell us how to use this lamp? We know how we want to use the lamp, and we don't have to use it the way that they dictate that we have to use the lamp. But if you don't use the lamp according to design, you may open yourself up for disaster if you plan to use the lamp to light your aquarium from the inside. You may have problems and suffer as the fish float to the top. Why am I being so silly? Because God designed life. Our God and King that we extol designed life to work in a certain way. And for us to enjoy life as he created it to be, we come up under the authority of his word. And we recognize that by design, life and relationships work in a certain way. So we conduct ourselves according to God's design because he has our best interest in mind. Look at the second line. Not only will I extol you, my God and King, the psalmist goes overboard with his use of terms to try to celebrate the greatness and the glory of God. I will extol you, and then the second line, I will bless your name forever and ever. Whenever you see this word bless used in the Old Testament, and I think almost every translation I looked at translates it as bless, the word bless can mean someone who bestows. To bless means to bestow grace, favor, kindness, position on someone. It is to bestow something, but bless is also the response of the one on whom that grace has been bestowed. So here, when David says, I will bless your name, it is, you have richly lavished me in your grace, in your kindness, in your love, in your work in my life, in your forgiveness, in your patience. You have lavished me, and so the only right response is to bless your name, to bless the name. Think about Ephesians 1:3. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So we bless and praise God as a response to the blessing and the grace that he has shown us. So it's a response. Now watch. This is what got to me, and I never really thought about this before. I will bless your name forever and ever. Why not just say forever? Save on ink. Save on time. And two less words to memorize. It's as if David were saying to us, Lord, in light of the mercy and the grace that you have lavished on me, forever alone would not be enough to praise you. So I will praise you forever and ever. This is your life. It has a beginning. The yellow is what some people tell us we live for, and that's retirement. Tom Crum's working harder here than he ever did here. This is what we're told when we have our heads pulled down. This is what we're told we're to live for. And David said, your kindness is so lavished on me that I will bless you forever and ever and ever. Oh, there's a knot in eternity. forever and ever and ever and ever. So what we want to do is we want to live this in light of this. But what pulls our head down, what makes it difficult for us to lift our head up, is if this is all we have to live for. I will bless your name, not only forever, but forever and ever, because you're worthy. Look at verse 2. Every day I will bless you. Every day. So not only forever, but every day I will bless you. Meaning that no matter what my day contains, no matter what unfolds, he is always worthy of my worship and of my praise. I am always richly blessed by him. Because, let's go back to, I will extol you. Anything else that we extol is unstable and not worthy of blessing and celebrating every day. Because anything else is uncertain and unstable and ever-changing or ever-deteriorating. He alone is worthy to be blessed every day, and it is always a right response to worship and to celebrate his greatness, no matter what the day holds. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. So, excuse me, the word praise has the idea of to celebrate loudly, to shine forth, to make one's boast with joy and gladness. Praise is the fulfilling of our created purpose. I will praise your name forever and ever. And when the psalmist says your name, how is that different from my God and my King? Name has to do with reputation. So, for example, if I say the name Abraham Lincoln, you have an image that comes in your mind of a tall, lanky rail splitter born in Kentucky. But there's a name, there's a reputation that goes with that name. So we're not just seeing the image of this tall, skinny, bearded president. We're thinking about the impact that his life had on our nation. If I say the name Billy Graham, you don't just picture a tall, skinny farm boy from North Carolina. When you hear the name Billy Graham, there's a reputation, there's an image, there's a life, there's a history that goes with that name. And so what David is saying here is, I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to praise your reputation. I'm going to praise who you are and what you have done, because you alone are worthy of that kind of praise. God is not moody. or intermittent in his love for us, in his grace to us. Every day we can bless him because his love, his grace, his blessings are lavished on us despite or apart from our performance. God loves and God blesses because he's the source of all love and blessing. He's the source of defining what love and blessing are. He never changes. There's no regret and no reservation for those in Christ. We live in light of eternity. He is active and not absent in our lives. I will extol you, my God and King. There's a personal relationship there that has been established that David refers to there. Lift up your heads. Now watch. I told you, we start high, and he takes us higher. Verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. The word great that's used there speaks of size, it speaks of importance, it speaks of presence. There are certain people that we know that if we're in a room full of people, when that person walks in, there's a sense of a presence. There's a sense of authority. There's a sense of maybe because they're tall, whatever the case may be, but there's a sense of a presence there. In the same way as when Jesus was feasting with and reveling with sinners. Remember asking my friend David King, pastor at Concord, I was like, David, what were the other people doing in the room while Jesus was there? I mean, were there yucky things, awful things going on back in the corner with those people? He said, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Wherever he was, there was a presence, and everybody knew that he was there. Great. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Our praise should match the greatness of the one to whom we attribute that praise. And watch this. And his greatness is unsearchable. The root word of that Hebrew means to reach a conclusion, to come to solve something, to finally explore it all and solve it. And what David says here is God's greatness is unsearchable. You'll never come to an end of, you'll never reach a conclusion to, you'll never grow weary of, you'll never grow bored with the greatness and the glory of God. In fact, Jonathan Edwards said, all eternity will be an ever-increasing, ever-accelerating enjoyment of our God in his glory forever and ever and ever. Great is our Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So David starts with the will surrendered and an acknowledgement of the supremacy of God and taking a humble place in light of who he is and his authority. He expresses different ways of praising and exalting, and he seeks to just exhaust the words that could be used to celebrate his magnificence. And then in verses 4 through 7, he begins to speak about the Lord's works. He turns from his delight to switches here. He turns from his delight in the Lord to God's people's delight in the Lord and God's people's experience with him. But also, he begins to talk about God's works and things that God has done. And look at how, again, he exercises his use of vocabulary. Verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Next verse, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. So these words that David uses here to refer to God's mighty, awesome, awe-inspiring acts that the body of believers celebrates together can refer and in some spots do refer to God's active intervention in the history of Israel. We celebrate those stories, don't we? We remember those stories. We rehearse those stories. We tell those stories to our children about how God intervened in the life of his people, of how God provided a lamb in Exodus, of how God spoke on the mountain, of God's faithfulness to Daniel. We celebrate those stories, and that's part of what David is referring to here. Also, it has to do with and can refer to our own history with God. That we as the body of Christ can celebrate ways that God has actively intervened in our own lives. And we share that with others, and we're built up by that. But it can also refer to God's works in creation. Now, before we go on to these images, and we'll go ahead and bring these lights down, and I don't know if you'll be able to see these or not, but we're going to try it. The psalmist turns from his delight to joining with others. We need the company of the saints to help us to lift up our heads. We need the company of brothers and sisters in Christ to remind us, because there are days that we find ourselves discouraged. And I will tell you that there are brothers and sisters in Christ here that they need your voice to help them to lift up their heads. We find compassion. We celebrate victories. We regain hope. We feel a belonging. We build others up. Keep company with those who are in awe of the glory and the majesty of God. This is our job as parents, for those of us with children, is to teach them how to lift up their heads and worship. I came across an article last week. And if you want to make note of this, because the images in the article will be a lot better than what you're going to see up here. Astronomy Photographer of the Year 2021. Short list revealed from the BBC article. Astronomy Photographer of the Year. So I saw some images that took my breath away, and we're going to look at these this morning. So we'll kill these lights up here up front. Let's see what we can do with these. This first one is called Harmony. It's a panorama of the Milky Way galaxy over lavender fields in France. I don't know about you, but I remember seeing images like that before and thought, oh, that's just kind of painted up. It doesn't really look like that, until Amy and I were at a bed and breakfast, and we were out on a balcony at night looking up, and I was like, oh, it really does look like that when there's no like street lights and everything else around. Milky Way galaxy. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. I saw this stat recently, and I'd heard it before, that if the Milky Way galaxy, which is our subdivision of the universe, if the Milky Way galaxy were the size of the continental United States, our solar system would be the size of a quarter. We're not a very big deal in the universe. We're pretty small even within our galaxy. I could go outside and throw this off into those woods back there, and you'd dig for a long time to try to, and some of you would, my kids would, they would go looking for that quarter. The Milky Way galaxy consists of billions of stars and is 100,000 light years across. So traveling at the speed of light across the Milky Way galaxy would take you 100,000 years. Check out this next image that was also an entry into the Astronomy Picture of the Year. And again, it's more glorious if you could see the actual picture. That's one of our neighbors in our solar system. That's Saturn. This week, it's about 746 million miles, give or take a million, from the Earth. That varies. If we could get in a car this morning and drive nonstop, please don't send me emails. I know we can't do that. If we could drive nonstop right now, that 746 million miles to our neighbor Saturn, driving nonstop at 70 miles an hour would itself be a miracle, at least in our car. Driving nonstop at 70 miles an hour would take about 1,200 years to get there. and that's Saturn that is in our little solar system that's about the size of a quarter in light of the hugeness of the Milky Way. There's no surface we know in those rings that we're so fascinated with, and then we find out that other planets have them as well. But there's a particular ring called the A ring. I came across this stat. Again, I'm random, but think about this. If a runner could run and there was a surface there in that particular ring that he could run on, if a runner could run, a world-class marathon runner, nonstop on one of those rings, no stop, no breaks, it would take 5.2 years to run just one of those rings. Big planet. We're small in light of that planet. Check out this next one. I bet some of you will recognize this one. That's the Pleiades. It's the Pleiades in the constellation Taurus, located 410 light years from Earth. And I read this week that that's made up of 800 different stars right there. On the wonder of your glorious works, I will meditate. 410 light years away. Lauren, let's skip to that last slide image. Some of you have heard this from folks like Louis Giglio. Voyager was sent off in 1977, Voyager spacecraft, traveled for 13 years to get to the edge of our solar system. And just before it flew out of our solar system, somehow they communicated to it to turn the camera to take one last shot of the planets that it had visited. And what scientists saw, once all of these pixels had come back, which took months for all of these to come together and all of these images to come together, I'm close enough to see it, you're not. That light, that stream of light, is actually the reflection of the sun off of the Voyager spacecraft. And in that stream of light, there's a little dot. There's a magnified picture of that image. It's blue. That's home. That's Earth from the edge of our solar system. Astronomer and atheist Carl Sagan wrote a poem, or wrote an article about the pale blue dot. He called it a mote of dust held within the light of a sunbeam. We're pretty small. Now, with that in mind, and with that image up there, I want you to hear the last two verses that we're covering from Psalm 145 this morning. Because to me, the psalmist built, he starts high and he builds to this point. This is the stunning thing. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I will extol you and you alone as my God and King. I will spend the rest of my eternity blessing you for the blessing that you have lavished on me. In fact, forever is not long enough, forever and ever, to bless you, to thank you, to worship you, to praise you. Then he joins in the praises with others. Then he says this in verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. If you recognize that line, or most Bible folks should, that comes from Exodus 34, 6 and 7, when Moses said, God, show me your glory. And God said, I'll let you see the backside of me, and I'll cover you with behind the rock, hide behind the rock. And he announced, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and forgiveness. And those words of God's self-revelation are repeated over and over and over again throughout the Bible. This is stunning to me. Because for David, he's on the front end. He's pre-coming of the Messiah. He's in history before the cross. We view this verse on the other side of the cross, and we see God's mercy and compassion lavished on us as blood was shed as our substitute to reconcile us to a great, an awesome, a righteous, a holy God. God intervened. The Word became flesh and came to this little pale blue dot and dwelt among us. And some might say, to have one little planet on which you put all of those people, and then look at the vastness of the universe, isn't that a lot of wasted space in the universe if you're just going to put people on one little planet? Well, it is, if the heavens are telling of the glory of man. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and He came on a rescue mission to draw you and I into the worship and the praise and the exaltation for which we were created. That's the amazing thing. If you're here this morning and you put your trust in Christ, you need to remember this. He is committed to you. He has committed Himself to you in covenant. He has committed Himself to you. Your security in your relationship with Him is not based on your performance. It's not even based on your commitment. It's based on His commitment. He made the first move and came to provide rescue. He revealed Himself. He's revealed Himself in the gospel. He's revealed Himself in His Son, and He's made a way for you to be forgiven and reconciled. So how do we respond to all of this? Well, if you're here and you're listening this morning, and this all sounds amazing, but you feel foreign to that, maybe you've never put your trust in Christ. Maybe you've tried religion, and maybe you've got a lot of Bible answers, but you've never really come to the cross. You've never really come to the gospel. You've never really put your trust in Christ. And so even as we talk about these kind of things, you feel like you're an outsider. And take this morning as a welcoming. Come to Christ. Come to forgiveness. Come to reconciliation. As Christ bore the full wrath of God for our sin, what we deserved, God provided a way. His Son rose on the third day. It's true. It's history. It's verifiable. Maybe for you, it's a sacrifice of praise this morning. You choose to respond, to lift up your head past whatever is pulling, whatever gravity, whatever invisible force is pulling you down, just to take some time to look up. Listen. Stop listening to other voices. Maybe you're listening too much to theories and websites and news. Maybe we just press pause on that, not to be willfully ignorant. But maybe we need to expose ourselves more to the mind mender. And come by our will and choose, God, I'm going to exalt you above all things. Would you meet with me here and give me perspective? Let's pray. God, thank you for your intervention, your greatness. This is a reminder in the first half of the psalm of your love for us. But also the reminder that we're small and you're infinite. You're great beyond our wildest imagination. So in our stillness and in our worship now, we just want to respond to the truth. We want to respond to you in worship. We want to lift up our heads. If you're here this morning, you need to talk to someone. I'm here. Pastor Adam's here. Fred, there's others here. Tom would be happy to talk with you, to pray with you, to encourage you. But let's turn our hearts now to worship a God who is great and greatly to be praised.
Would you stand with me as we sing and celebrate the greatness of our God? How great is our God?
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Oh, sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning at the end, beginning at the end. The Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Oh, sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! Name above all names, oh, he's the name above. Worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God! How great is our God! Oh, sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great. How great is our God! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior. Is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God.
God, we praise you this morning as we see in your word, as we see around us how great you are. And we're thankful that you're in control. And I pray that, as Kelly said this morning, that we would come under your word and submit to you, our authority. We love you and thank you for loving us. For it's in your Son's name we pray today. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.